We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we travel afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Familiar old carol, right? There's some assumptions that this carol makes that we should examine, I think, tonight. We don't know that there were three visitors. Could have been 10, 12, or more. However, somebody along the line assumed that since there's three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, maybe there were three visitors. And the visitors were not necessarily kings. In fact, it says they were something else, a magi. Magi can be magicians, from which we get that word, astrologers, advisors to royalty, kind of like ancient university professors, perhaps. There were ancient priestly castes from Persia, experts in religion, in history, in medicine, astronomy, astrology, divination, and magic, and other things. And I suppose, as today, in all professions, there were good and bad. I suppose back then they probably had some magi who researched in science and others who researched in black magic or maybe seances with the dead. They weren't necessarily from the Orient either. No reason to think they would come all the way from India or China. Much closer was Persia or Babylon. They were now subdued nations, but their culture was very much intact. But whoever they were, we know that they were pagans, those who were outside the Hebrew faith. And yet, how did they know about the prophecy of the Old Testament that a Messiah would be born, the King of the Jews? Well, that's not so hard either, because the Bible, the Old Testament, was well known in the ancient world at this late date around the birth of Christ. For instance, in the West, the Greeks had translated the Old Testament into their language in Greek some 300 years before in Alexandria, Egypt. And in the East, east of Jerusalem, a very popular book was the Babylonian Talmud, written by Jews who lived there. That existed from 400 years before Christ. Now we have to remember that not all the exiles from Jerusalem under the Babylonian captivity came back, but just a remnant. Some stayed on and thrived in Babylon, and their religion was known in the East. So our account in Matthew that these sages, these magi, come from the East and ask where the King of the Jews is born, according to the prophecy, is not so far-fetched after all. I like to think of this night that we celebrate, the arrival of the Magi, as kind of a second Christmas. You see, it's Christmas for the Gentiles. Oh yes, the Lord came and revealed the Christ, born at Bethlehem, in the stable, there in the manger, revealed by the angels to the shepherds and worshiped there that first Christmas. But sometime later, God brought others to Bethlehem. Now, we don't know when, do we? Because it doesn't really say 13 days later, as we celebrate tonight. But since King Herod had all children under two put to death, we assume that they arrived sometime in the first 2 years of Christ's life, before the family then fled to Egypt. Now, what led them there? Well, they said, "We have seen a star in the east." Some people think that this was an astrological sign. I've read in books where they say that the constellation of Pisces was visited by Saturn and Jupiter somewhere in B.C. year 6 or 7. That could be. And they say that the Hebrew Messiah and King are represented by these two planets, or rather by this constellation and these two planets coming together around that time. However, I'm not an astrologer or astronomer. I don't know. It could have been something more supernatural than that. You know, a miracle star, or perhaps a brightly glowing angel itself that led the people there. And in fact, it does seem to seem more apparently that was the case, for it says in our text that they followed the star. It just wasn't some sign in the heavens somewhere light years away, but they followed the star as if it was moving. Whatever the truth is here, the point is that they came and that God actively led them there on purpose. They came, they saw, they worshiped, and they gave gifts. God called, and they answered. These people came because they were living in darkness there, wherever they came from. Now, it says that they were magi, and magi are very important people in the ancient world, advisors to kings, and those endowed with great wisdom and learning. Obviously, they were wealthy to be able to have the time to learn and to study, and not have to work each day at some kind of manual labor job like the rest of the world was. There must have been something missing in their lives, or they wouldn't go looking for a Messiah to worship on such a faraway trip at such inconvenience and distance. Friends, they were looking for something. Something that star and that prophecy represented to them. How true it is today, isn't it? That people are looking for something. Something more than working a job can bring them. Something more than saving up money or taking vacations or racking up huge amounts of debt can bring them. How true it is for us today. We've got conveniences like no other country, like no other culture's ever had. But how many of us are truly happy today? How many of us had this great joy each day for living the life that we're living? On the contrary, people get addicted to all kinds of things today. To drugs, we can get addicted to alcohol, certain behaviors. In these things alone, there is only darkness, and they cannot bring light to the world. But in Jesus, the true light has dawned and is shining into the world. The only Son from heaven, he's full of light and full of truth, and the beacons go forth from Bethlehem out into the world, to the rest of the world. There, born to Mary and Joseph, is a little child. But all of the Godhead is fully invested in this child, all present there. He's the hope of Israel. He would bring true worship back to the people of God's covenant. He would heal the wounds of Israel. But what about the rest of the world? The people who weren't Hebrews and weren't by blood heirs of that promise. Millions and millions of people, billions who have been born since, not of Hebrew blood. What about them? That's why tonight, what we celebrate here in the Gospel of Matthew is so important. The calling of these magi by the star shows that God invites people of all nations, that Christ came into the world for everyone, and certainly for you and I, you and me. Jesus later said in his ministry, he said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These words are foretold even at his birth in the calling of the Magi. God is calling all people. When we come to Christ, when he calls us, what are we to do? That's answered here in our text too. What do the Magi do when they come to Bethlehem finally? Well, Magi didn't bargain. They didn't wander in as if the Holy Family was blessed to have them come off their thrones or their wonderful palaces, wherever they lived in the East. But it seems in our text they come humbly, don't they? They come humbly, and they come and they visit. They worship. They call on the name of this child that he might have mercy on them. We do that too, don't we? We do it because we need all the mercy that this child can give. And ultimately in his life, we see it there at the cross. The cross alone is a source of that mercy, where the life of this Son of God is laid down for us and for all people. That is where the light truly shines on us. And these Magi, when they came, they left gifts, didn't they? Gold. Well, that's the standard for all wealth, always has been. All currencies are weighed by their worth in gold. Frankincense, a pleasant-smelling substance. Myrrh is similar, but I understand it is much more valued. Both of these things, myrrh and frankincense, come from dried tree sap. Did you know that? Dried sap. The Camphora myrrha tree from Somalia and Ethiopia, where they get myrrh. Frankincense from the Boswellia tree in Somalia and Yemen. You know, its name comes from the Frankish kings, the Frankish crusaders, who reintroduce it back into Europe much later. Anyway, you burn it to get a nice smell. And nice smells were important in an age like that, weren't they? Where daily bathing and Glade room fresheners were not very common. People wanted to smell nice and wanted to have a nice smell in their house. It was kind of a royal thing if you could have the money and the riches to have a nice-smelling house. So you would offer that as a gift. Well, Jesus' light continues to shine today. How does it shine on us? Well, it shines on sinners like us when we hear that good news that God's church brings to us. We hear the good news that Christ's name is preached and the light is dispelled again. Jesus' name is the answer to our darkness. The light shines on us when people are brought to be baptized. It doesn't matter if it's one or two or many people. When people come and repent of their sins and God washes away all their guilt, his light is flowing on them and on his whole church, giving eternal life. And when people come, people like you have come tonight, united in faith. We have here tonight not only St. John members, but people from Trinity and Urbana, and from Emmanuel Broadlands, and from University Lutheran Church, and maybe other places too. We're all united in faith because our congregations are united in its teaching. We teach the same truths from Scripture as we mark in our creeds and confessions. When people come united in that teaching, and they come and they can eat and drink Christ's flesh and blood, and are sustained by that flesh and blood forever, as we do in the bread and the wine tonight. United just as we shall be united in heaven, with no division and no dividing walls between us whatsoever. So tonight, we come in that way. This, my friends, this is the light of Christ. This is as bright as it gets here on earth, basking in the word and the sacraments which this Christ has brought to all nations. This is the light of Christ. And we pray that it'll always shine on us, that we'll always be there in God's church to be enlightened by the light of Christ. Until that day when God comes down and he gathers us all up around his throne in heaven, where Jesus is our everlasting light. This is what tonight means to us. God bless you on this Epiphany. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts, true faith to life everlasting.